Joe said, my name is Ruben. I'm the assistant pastor here. And it is such a joy to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. I kind of joked with my wife on Christmas Eve that as kind of last minute, I had to do the Christmas Eve service. I kind of just pulled some things from what I was going to say today. And so if you hear some repeats, that's okay. It's good to repeat things. It helps it stick in your brain. And that's why we read through God's word together. That's why we do Advent season and Easter and all of these things as these repeating as these rhythms. So they get stuck up here. So hopefully they hit your heart, and hopefully that extends to your hands and your feet and the way you speak about people as well. And so as these candles are lit and we're reminded of the Advent season and Christmas and the light who came into the darkness, I want to encourage us all this morning to look forward into 2026. That's why I titled the sermon, Being Made New in 2026, because that's where we're headed. We're all headed there together, whether this is your first Sunday at New Hope or you've been here longer than I have. We're all in this big thing called life together. And so before we go to God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly and Holy Father, be in my head and my thinking, my heart, my understanding, my mouth, my speaking, Lord. Let all that is of you be written on our hearts, be extended into our minds and into our hands and our feet as we live to be lights in your world. And anything that is not of you, Lord, let it fade away. Let it become let it be dirt beneath our feet, Lord, as we step out into the world where we're called to be, as Joe said, lights of love, to be people who point to you, Lord, as John the Baptist pointed to your son. In your precious and holy name, amen. So this is kind of a one-off sermon. We had Advent the past 4 weeks. Me and Joe are starting a new series next week. And so this is kind of in the middle. It's actually, a lot of pastors call it Youth Pastor Sunday. It's usually the only Sunday they let youth pastors speak. but I felt that it was good to look forward into 2026. As we are Christians, we are called to continually to be made new, to progress in this thing called life, to be sanctified, become more and more like our Savior. And I could think of no better passage to talk about what it means to be a follower of Christ, to become and being made new more like him than Romans 12. Romans 12 kind of sets up the rest of the book of Romans. Even more so, it actually sets up what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be someone who is led by the Holy Spirit, not only in lifestyle, but in how we speak to one another and how we serve one another. And so it's not a long chapter, only 20 verses. And so if you'll stick with me, let's hear God's word. This is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportions to our faith, if serving in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lovely. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Our prey says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thus ends this reading of this portion of God's holy inerrant word. That was a mouthful. That was a lot. I'll be referencing the passage a lot, but hopefully in this coming week, I want to encourage you to read Romans 12, maybe two or three more times throughout the week as a reminder. I think a couple of years ago, I referenced a pastor friend of mine. He's actually retired now, who used to call the entrance and exit doors of a church the doors of amnesia, because people would come in and remember, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I enjoy listening to God's word and becoming more and more like Christ, and then you would step out the doors and you'd forget everything and live like you hadn't heard that God loves you and that he calls us to love one another. And I thought that was a very fitting thing. And so as I move towards looking into 2026, and with Romans 12 as that map, there's three things that I want us all to do. I want us to look backward, I want us to look presently, and I want us to look forward. These are really simple things because I tried to make them nearly the same. Oftentimes, we get caught in one of these three things. Often, we either get caught looking backward all the time, or we only pay attention to what the here and now is, or we're only looking to the future. And in doing so, we miss certain aspects, right? The past informs why the present is what it is. In the future, what we're going for informs how we live in the present. All of it's well connected. And so as we look to the past, I want to look to a passage that within chapter 12 that's probably one of the most misquoted, misused passages in the Bible, apart from Philippians 4:13 and Jeremiah 29:11, and that's Romans 12, verses 2. Let me read again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I say it's often misused or misquoted because people often take it, kind of pull it up out of Romans, and then use it to do whatever they want. They say, well, something comes to me, I'm gonna test it. So they like flip a coin. And I'm not just pulling out of the air. I had a friend who used to say, well, I'm testing whether this is from God. I'm going to flip a coin. And if it's heads, then, yep, this is from God. And if it's tails, then it's not. That may seem a little ridiculous, but it happens. We also sometimes take this verse and we say, well, we shouldn't be conformed to the patterns of this world, so we should totally isolate ourselves from anything and everything that doesn't happen within our four walls of our church building. And we ignore the world outside. Or sometimes we take this passage and we say, well, what is good and acceptable is whatever I define as good and acceptable in my kind of cultural viewpoint, vantage point of the day. And anything that's not must be going against this verse, so it's bad, and so let's throw it out. And if you've heard me preach or if you've been to youth group, the number one thing I mention to students when reading passages is to always read the context. Right, you read the verses around the passage that informs how we understand this passage. And if you read Romans 12, 2, it is easy to just do whatever you want with it, unless you keep reading into 12, 3, and 4, and all the way on to the rest of the chapter. Because this tells us what it looks like to be transformed by God. It tells us what it looks like to not live as the world would, but to be transformed. You're like, well, Reuben, it doesn't say, you know, this is what the world's like, don't do this. You're right, but it does say what we should do. And I think it's pretty easy to see what the opposite side is. Right? But what does it say too? Well, 12:2 is fleshed out in 12:3 through 21. Some of the highlights are not to think of yourself more highly than others, right? That we all have different gifts, that we should outdo honor with honor, that we should love one another, that we should abhor evil, that we shouldn't be haughty, to associate with the lowly, to live peacefully, to feed your enemy, to give them drink, to care for those with generosity, to show mercy. And so if that's what we're called to, then obviously the world does the opposite. Things of the world are things that don't show mercy. Things of the world are withholding food from enemies and probably also friends. The world probably looks very haughty. The world thinks of itself and not of others. Or maybe your specific group, not other groups. Lifting up one thing and pushing down on everything else. And I think the most poignant, at least for America in 2025, looking towards 2026, is being associated with the lowly, is what we're called to do as Christians. And yet, all too often, we don't want to be associated with the lowly. We want to be associated with the winners, with the top. But that's not what God calls us to. He calls us, rather, to come alongside those and care for them in ways. And as we move into 2026 and we're looking backward, can we say with proud confidence that we've done all of these things perfectly and well? So much so, we don't really have to worry about 2026. We just keep living the way we've been living. Do we actually believe that this, what 12 says of what it's calling us to be as Christians? Or do we say, I'm okay. I'm good just kind of vibing through the next year? Because I think if we're honest, all of us fail at a lot of these things, or most of these things. Maybe not daily, but every so often. And that's okay. It's okay to fail. This is not me getting up here and wagging my finger at everybody, because I'd have to wag at least four fingers at myself. Isn't that what they say? You point one finger at someone else, you point four back at yourself. And so this morning, when I say to look backward, I think we should be honest where we've been as people in 2025 and beyond, that we haven't been perfect at any of these things. And that's okay, because we have 2026. We can move into a new step. We can get uncomfortable and try to pursue the thing God is calling us to in chapter 12, to live as living sacrifices, to live as Christ lived. And as we sang about through multiple of our songs this morning already, Christ came and died for us and rose again from the dead 3 days later. And we'll get more to that when looking forward. You see, looking backward, one of my favorite examples of me trying and constantly failing is making scones. I don't know if any of you have ever made scones before. I worked at a bakery. I actually helped a friend open a bakery before I started here. It was one of my last jobs before becoming a pastor. And one of the things we had on the menu were scones. And they were like those really Moorish, savory scones that kind of fall apart. Not like the thick, cakey ones or the really hard ones, but kind of those you pick up and it kind of falls apart. Really great scones. And one of the things you have to do with scones is you don't put it through a mixer, at least these ones. You have to do it by hand. And you put it together to where it's almost falling apart, but it's not. And then you chop it up into eight triangles, at least the way we did it, and then you bake it. And then it comes together and it makes this light, fluffy, beautiful scone. It's just, ugh, I miss that scone. But whenever I would make it, I'd work the dough way too much, and it would come out, and it would be hard and tough. It would still taste good, right? All the flavors were there. The same ingredients went in. But the way I worked on it, it came out not great. Luckily, my friend Cody, who owned the bakery, who was very good at making scones, ended up allowing me to try multiple times, but ended up just moving me to making pies instead. I was much better at making pie crust. And it was a reminder to me that despite me and him essentially running this bakery on our own, And both of us knowing all the ingredients and what to goes in and how to make each thing, both of us had our own talents. It wasn't that I couldn't make scones. It's just I was better at making pies. And we were there to support one another. But it's something I still worked at. Even though that wasn't what my specialty was, I wasn't great at making scones. It's something I still worked on. Something I still work on today, actually. And so, much like in the chapter, verses 3 all the way through 8, it talks about these different gifts that we all have. It can often be easy to kind of be like, well, in the past, this is the one I'm really good at, so this is the one I'm going to stick with, right? I'm really good at, I'm really good at leading. That's an easy one. I like leading. I'm going to be the one who leads. I don't have to worry about being merciful or generous or anything else. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning that this isn't like a list and you only get one and then you're good to go. Rather, it's you probably have one you're better at, like me with the making the pie crust, but you have to pursue all of them. They're all important, right? Me and Joe, we're both pastors, but we both have different talents and we both complement one another, right? All of our elders that we have, they all are different. They've all had different walks of lives, but we all complement one each other. But it doesn't stop one of us to be like, okay, this elder's really good at teaching, but he's, not great at being very merciful. So let's just assume he's never going to be merciful. No, that's something he needs to grow in, and vice versa. And so as we look backward, I hope it's not we're going to nail ourselves in that corner of where we've been, but I hope looking backward informs where we are presently. And as we look presently, where are we? Well, to be hyper-literal, we're at New Hope Presbyterian Church on December 28th in 2025 in Washington State in the United States of America. But if we're also honest where we are presently, we're in a church that has been in a lot of season of change over the past 5 years since I've been here. And this past year, me and Joe have been really encouraging on kind of inward health. We've been trying to care for and connect with as many people within our building. We've been trying to take care of this big building and care for our renters like Living Stream and the Burmese Church and the Montessori School. And going into 2026, we've been preparing to move into a time of being outwardly focused, looking out into our neighborhood and our world. And how do we not just, ask them to come in so we can keep focusing inwardly, but how do we go out to them and care where they are? That our past, which is very important, informs how we move forward. But we can't do that if we aren't honest with where we're at presently. And in Romans 12, it talks about the marks of a true Christian in the latter half of the passage. And it says that we have to let our love, in verse 9, let love be gentle, genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. And in the present, if you're maybe riding on a ship or something, you have to hold fast to where you are. Despite the ship moving, it's important to make sure you're grounded where you're at. When I was in seminary, my dad really encouraged me to go to where I went, RTS in Jackson, and it was because he told me to give me a solid foundation, and that wherever I went in the future, I knew my feet were sure where they were at. And so hopefully as we're present where we are, we can look around and be honest where we've been and where we've maybe messed up and failed, but also being encouraging us to grow as we move forward. You see, we live in a country right now, well, this is very obvious to all of us, we're very divided, are we not? And not just unintentionally, intentionally divided. And I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but I will say two things that are in this passage and in our lives as Christians is that we have become a less and less hospitable and empathetic people in our country. And I'm not talking about one side or the other, I'm saying everybody has. And as a church, as people who are called to live as one sent by our Savior, Jesus, who calls us constantly in Scripture to be empathetic and hospitable, if you want to look different than the world, it's not easy, but it's very obvious. It causes us to be hospitable and empathetic towards those around us. that presently a lot of encouragement I hear from people who visit our church is not the preaching is really good, but we do hear that. But I also mainly hear how hospitable people are as they come in, that people know people, they shake hands, they build friendships. And that's really encouraging, and I love that. But brothers and sisters, if we're honest, if you took a poll, if you reached out to your friends who weren't Christians, or maybe posted something on Facebook or Instagram, you would see that most people outside of who don't darken the door of churches don't view Christians as hospitable or empathetic. They don't see them as the kind of people who would feed their enemy or give a drink to those who are thirsty. And that's something we have to be honest about our present. Are we actually being hospitable? Are we a church that cares for people not just when they darken the door, but as we go out into the world, when we care for our neighbors? I loved that last song we sang because it said, you know, who is this baby in the manger? Who is this man who's homeless and roaming? Who is this man up on a cross who's bleeding and dying? And every time that refrain, right? That is our Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And I think I've harped on this a lot the past couple times I've preached, but it just reminds me of Matthew 25 where it says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. That as we move into 2026, we should be people who, when we see a world torn up and dark and messed up and chaotic, we know that we can point to a Savior who fixed everything and is continuing to fix everything, and we get to be part of that. Right? We're not just waiting for one day for the world to change, but we're supposed to be living and active right now to help be that change in the world, to be lights in the darkness. You see, it'd be easy to merely say, you know, I see this going on, you know, on social media or other things with this divisiveness, this inhospitable, unempathetic world. But I saw it very literally a few months ago. Me and my wife were coming back from the ballet in Seattle, and it was one of those times where some of the highways were shut down when they were doing construction. Well, I know they're still doing construction, but specifically where we were driving, and we had to take a side road. It was kind of four lanes in South Seattle with one of those center turn lanes. And it was pretty like stop and go, very frustrating. And there was this car that I knew something bad was gonna happen, a little sports car behind me, just bobbing and weaving. Hopefully you've never been that person, but you've probably seen those people who are zooming around in and out. And I kind of gripped the steering wheel a little bit more, took, you know, a lot of my debt and the training I learned, you know, being a defensive driver, and just kind of let this dude pass me. I wasn't gonna try to be, you know, that person who made him stop. And he whipped around me, and those cars stopped faster than he could, and he slammed into the back of this Subaru, just decimating his car and smashing the back end of this other car. And what you would think would happen, that everybody would stop, we're already stop and go, and get out of their car and check on these people. But that's not what happened. The sad thing, what happened is everybody left. People just kept driving. And so me and my wife, despite being in the city all day, it was nearly midnight at that point. We pulled off to the side, got out. My wife called 911, and we tried to get to this car that was crashed out in the middle of the road. The other car was able to park, and he was fine. And I don't need to really get into what the rest of the night that happened. That'd be too long of a story, because I want to focus on what happened amidst this accident, this car crash that we could all plainly see. That instead of caring for the people who were hurt, despite us not knowing who they were, the very easy thing, the simple thing that people did was they just ignored it and just kept going. I have my own priorities. I gotta get home. I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or my car's fine. Or, oh, I can't help because I don't know anything. I'm just going to keep driving. Somebody else will do it. That'll be fine. And I wish I could say I think that only happens with car accidents. But I think we do that in a lot of other areas as well. That we see people or things happening that we know are wrong, that we know have messed up. And we do the easy thing, which is just ignore it, and we just keep moing forward, instead of doing what Scripture in Romans 12 specifically calls us to, which is to not be like the world, but to be more like Christ, to show love, to to be merciful, to feed the hungry, to live in harmony, to be peaceable, to not repay evil with evil, but to be honorable in the sight of all, to share love with one another. If you keep reading into chapter 13, it actually talks about that you fulfill the law, all the rules that God laid out by love. And if you haven't loved, you actually haven't fulfilled the law at all. I'm not saying you need to stop for every single car crash, right? You need to think that through. It might be more dangerous for you to stop in the middle of the highway if a car has crashed. But hopefully you take that little example, metaphor, and you expand it across our whole lives, our day-to-day lives, our social media lives, our future. As we're looking towards the future and embarking into 2026, hopefully we want to do it better than we did in 2025. Hopefully we want to be more loving to our neighbor. Maybe we can be the people who stop and help someone after they got in a car crash. I told my students this morning that one of the things I love doing, even though I'm really bad at it, is setting a New Year's resolution. I don't know how many of you do that. But statistically, it's a terrible idea because everybody fails at them. I don't know if you know this. You're better to not do a New Year's resolution because most people fail. But if we ignore statistics, which is sometimes dangerous, but at least within this, and we actually set a New Year's resolution to be more like Christ, to pursue this kind of faith that Romans 12 calls us to, you're still going to fail at it. But the cool thing about failing is you can restart. You can start up again. Just because it's the way it's always been, or maybe the way you've always failed, or you've never been able to do this, it doesn't mean that's what the future will hold for you. Failure is a great thing when it allows us to kickstart and keep going. I tell my students all the time that it's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to try things and to risk things. Because if you fall, and you have good community, good people, you have a big God who cares deeply for you, you can still get back up. Now, obviously, you know, quotes, little asterisk, don't be stupid, as my dad would say. But I've always lived my life, and my wife would tell you I'm much better at this now, being 33, than I was 10 years ago. But I used to always be a leap before you look kind of guy, which I don't always recommend. But I do recommend that as we look forward to become more and more like Christ, that I encourage you to maybe take a little leap of faith in caring for maybe your enemy. Maybe let's focus on that specifically, feeding someone who's your enemy, despite people may looking at you funny or talking negatively about you. How are you caring for somebody who maybe your friends or family would be like, why would you even give them a second glance or care for them at all? Why would you show love to someone who hasn't shown love to you, who hasn't shown any care for you? And you can say with a hopefully joyful heart that you're doing it because God calls you to love them. And hopefully you can do it because you love that person, because they're made in the image of God, that they are image bearers as well. How often do we view the world or view people we don't like and we call them names, right? We maybe not verbally. You're like, oh, I would never say it out loud. In my head, I think, you know, that person's, I don't know. I don't want to say any insults from the pulpit. That wouldn't be good. But as Christians, we need to live in such a way that shows love. It was funny, this morning, I was listening to a radio station that normally I listen to CDs. I'm a big CD guy, and I found ska music the other day, a Christian ska band, which if you don't know ska music, highly recommend. It's trumpets, it's very dancey. There's a great Christian ska band called MXPX I recommend. But instead, I listened to the radio, and there was a song that came out when I was in high school by the Black Eyed Peas which is a band. Oh, let's see if I have a slide. Yeah, Black Eyed Peas, not the literal peas. But if you grew up in the South or, like me, lived in Mississippi for a long time, you ate a lot of Black Eyed Peas. But the band Black Eyed Peas, and they have a song called Where is the Love? And they just kind of repeat this refrain, where is the love? People living, people dying. If you practice what you preach, you turn the other cheek. Where is the love? And it's a refrain of just, you know, saying all these terrible things and wondering where is love at. And there's a quote near the end of the song, and it says, "If you never speak the truth, then you never know how love sounds." Then they're yelling in the back, "Where's the love?" And if you never know love, then you never know God. And I thought that was such a pointed thing. Especially as Christians, we want to speak truth in love, right? We have the truth. That's what this big old book is. And we do really good, maybe not a good job, but we feel like we do a good job about sharing that truth. But often we don't let that truth hit ourselves. And that love that comes from God shape us as we try to live in ways that honor our God and our King. And so as you move forward into 2026, I want to give you two encouragements, charges, things to chew on, things to pursue. One thing is, I hope you read Romans 12 as much as possible. Keep it at the forefront of your mind this coming year in 2026. And know that you're going to fail at being perfect, but know that God loves you and He encourages you and wants to come alongside of you. That God will not abandon you, that you cannot mess up so much that God forgets you. Or rather, God, as tightly as you're holding on to Him, He holds much more tightly to you. And you can't leave His love. And the second thing I want to encourage you to is to remember within Romans 12, this verse. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." If you want to know what God's will is, if you want to know what it looks like to live in such a way that you don't look like the world, live in a way that's empathetic, a way that's self-sacrificing, a way that's merciful, a way that abhors evil and pursues good, a way that when people look at Christians, they'll no longer be like, I don't know if they actually love people well, but be like, wow, this church was able, or this person, let's pull it down to ourselves. You know, this person was able to give food to somebody who was yelling at them. And so I want to charge you with those two things, and I would like to end on a story, which I promise will be very quick. When I was in seminary, one of the first internships I had was with a rescue mission that worked with unhoused people downtown Jackson, Mississippi. And there was, one of the things I did was intake. So people would come and they'd want care or to sleep at night and they'd have to kind of go through this brief interview process. And that's what I did. Probably should not have been doing that job because it was like first day. But a gentleman came in and I went through all these intake things and he told me this was like the fourth time he'd done intake to stay there. Because he always combated with this one pastor that worked there. I was like, okay, so you fight against this one pastor, you don't like him, why do you keep coming back? And he goes, well, he keeps letting me come back. He goes, I walked past and he said, hey, there's a warm bed for you, or we have food for you, or hey, you need some new boots or gloves. And it doesn't get too cold in Mississippi, but this was in the winter for like the 4 days it gets cold in Mississippi. And it was this reminder that this guy, despite not liking this pastor and butting heads with him, sometimes violently butting heads, not like just yelling at him, kept coming back because he knew this pastor loved him in a way that was tangible. And I don't know if that gentleman still goes by that unhoused shelter. I don't know what's going on in his life, but I can tell you a few days later he got in another fight with that pastor and he left again. And I can tell you that 6 months later after that, he came back to the shelter again. You see, we often think these things will be quick fixes. the life of a Christian is a constant one where we constantly are trying to become more and more like Christ, become more and more like the Savior who came down to live and die for me and you. And I hope that you find that kind of love, hope you pursue a God who loves you that much, if not more so. And I hope that as we go out into this world to be lights, like Christ was the light in the darkness, that we will be like John the Baptist, who points to the light. So brothers and sisters, I hope you have a great week. I hope New Year's treats you so well. And I hope that in 2026, all of us, me included, can become more and more like a Romans 12 Christian and love what is good and not conform to the world, but to be transformed by the Savior, Jesus Christ, and to look in such a way where people will come back and say, wow, what a wonderful Savior these people pursue. Would you go with me in prayer? Heavenly and Holy Father, we thank you for all that you've done and are doing. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength to be loving. You would give us patience to be merciful and kind. You would give us opportunities to share food with our enemies. Lord, you give us moments of peace. You'd help us to live peaceably, help us care for people well. Lord, help us pursue Romans 12 and the whole of Scripture, Lord, as we look to be more and more like you and less like the world that is selfish and self-serving. And we pray all this in your precious and holy name. Amen.